This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Salicata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Started the show ripping the Yankees, but quickly moved on to the breaking news of Robert Saleh being fired 5 weeks in to year four. The Jets are 2-3, a major disappointment. Woody Johnson woke up, decided it was time to make a change. I just don't see how this fixes anything in what appears to be another lost season for the Jets.
Well, it's not lost yet because the Buffalo Bills seem to be a little bit more flawed than maybe people thought for a while. They looked really good. They're coming back down to earth now. You had to try something. I mean, Robert Saleh obviously is not the only thing wrong with the New York Jets, but as the head coach, he's got to assume the blame. And he did in the ultimate way, lost his job, and we feel badly for him. But that doesn't mean that I think it's the wrong move. Now, why Hackett is still employed, that's different. I mean, he should have been shown the door first. Generally, in a normal franchise, when there's not such a distortion of power, meaning the quarterback basically does whatever he wants and his boy is the OC, well, coordinator is fired first as the warning flare for the head coach to get his act together,
right?
Not the other way around. I will say that too often I think Woody has been accepting of subpar results, too passive in how he runs the New York Jets. So whether or not it's going to work, I don't know. I'm quite confident it's not going to get worse. And by at this point, they look so bad, they had to take a chance. And I applaud Woody. I really do. I'm happy that he did. I hate to use the word happy when somebody loses their job. So I'm going to take that back. I
know what you mean. It's not personal.
I believe this could change the Jets' fortunes more than you do.
And by the way, even though we both feel badly for Saleh on a personal level, like, I wish I had it that bad. Yeah, fire me and give me my millions to go home. And like, he never needs another job again. He should be set.
Somebody had the breakdown. You know what he's making per day?
What?
I think $23,000 per day.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. Listen, that's a lot of golf with Joe, as I said.
He basically stole money from Woody Johnson for 4 years. I think he'll be okay. And he'll land on his feet as a defensive coordinator next year, so he'll be fine. But it's embarrassing, especially the way that it went down. My issue is that it's not going to fix anything. And also, what took Woody so long? You see this now, but you didn't realize it after 3 years of watching this guy be the worst head coach in the NFL? Took you 3 years, and now you do it in season, and you're going to elevate a guy who's never been a head coach before in Jeff Ulbrich, who, look, he seems like a nice guy, seems like a good coach. We'll find out. Saleh seemed like a good defensive coordinator, too, and it didn't work. And now you're going to have Ulbrich trying to run the offense with Hackett and Rodgers? Good luck with that. It's a broken foundation to severe extent with the New York Jets. They just don't get it. They could have tried to change it a year ago. They didn't. Now they do it in season. I did not think this was the right time to do it. I don't know how this solves anything for this organization moving forward.
Well, I think the next thing to push this forward, I think the next thing that you have to look at here is how, like, the Jets are now in a very interesting but potentially very dangerous position.
Yeah.
Because now the owner, who generally is fairly conservative with this stuff, is desperate. And that's why I asked Willie Colon, who was on with us earlier, if you guys missed that, free Odyssey app. Willie, great, great. One of us from here. Great guy. Champion with the Steelers. You know, good offensive lineman. You see him on SNY. He was really good. So that's up there. Free Odyssey app. Hit rewind. Go get Willie. And I asked him, I said, okay, Woody clearly is the one who fired this shot. It's not like he conferred with Joe Douglas. No way. He circumvented that. He went in, he said, you're gone. And I do respect that when the owner takes the steering wheel to that extent. But will he now usurp the GM and bypass him as well in the Davante Adams negotiations with the Reddick stuff? And if he does, how bad of a position is he maybe going to put the Jets in terms of giving too much draft equity or doing something just fiscally irresponsible for Reddick contractually? I don't know. But if Woody's this desperate, then it could actually get worse. It could get better, but it could get worse.
But then why even keep Joe Douglas at this point?
Yeah, like, I can't answer. Joe's next if he doesn't watch
it. Well, I mean, but that's the point. Like, why Saleh of everybody? I would argue that Saleh of everybody's basically been the same since day one. Joe Douglas has made horrible decision after horrible decision. Most recently, the Reddick stuff. Like, you traded for him. You knew that the other team was dumping a problem on you. Actually, he didn't know, otherwise he wouldn't have done it. But he should have known, if we all knew, that they were dumping a potential problem on you. Yeah, a handshake agreement that he was going to play. Now you look like a fool because you don't have a defensive weapon that you tried to get to go into this season. Joe Douglas also hired Robert Saleh, also patched this thing together with Aaron Rodgers after he failed on drafting and developing the proper quarterback. So Joe Douglas is more to blame than anybody. He also brought in Hackett. Like, if one guy goes, then everybody should go.
Well, listen, you and I talked about this before the season because we all knew the scoreboard. Like, if this thing doesn't go well, everybody's gone.
Right.
So it's not a surprise. Well, I mean, maybe it's a little surprising given the timing, but not the concept of Robert Saleh losing his job. I've always said this. Now, I do think that it's a little overstated with certain things, but when I look at the pros of Joe Douglas and I weigh them against the pros and the cons of Robert Saleh, I see a lot more checks in the GM's in his column. Like, I would think that if Joe Douglas does get relieved of his job at the end of the season, I'm not saying he gets a GM job, but he might be up for consideration maybe by one team, maybe. Robert Saleh's getting hired by nobody. Like, I look at Robert Saleh as head coach, and I don't know what he does well. I'm like, I'm not trying to be rude. He's not good with the clock. He doesn't inspire. They're not buttoned up in terms of that. They're never ready to start games, so I don't know what he's doing in practice.
Well, what has Joe Douglas done
well? I'd say
I'm not saying I disagree, but what has Joe Douglas done?
Well, he has.
Did he hire a good head coach?
Well, no. That's why it's not perfect.
Quarterback?
No. It's a very checkered history, but you know what he's done is he's shown a propensity to make excellent trades. Now the Reddick trade is not one of them. He got something for Darnold. He's been very astute. Even Quincy Williams was on the who's their second or third best defender was on the Jacksonville Jaguars practice squad. He got him. So he's drafted some talent. Again, you got to win eventually. It's a tired conversation if you don't.
Yeah.
But when I say what has Joe Douglas done, he's drafted some of the most talented Jets in the last 20 years, and he's also made some very astute trades. What has Robert Saleh done? Nothing is my answer.
Yeah, and also if you're Joe Douglas walking around that building today.
I'm not saying you're confident.
Well, but that's kind of the point. Like, what message does this send? This is clear to me that Woody Johnson heard the fans, and they all wanted Saleh fired. He saw the team start the season in a disappointing way, 2-3 after five games. Maybe he got a little more embarrassed because it was in London, where he loves to be the ambassador or whatever. I don't even know what the hell that means.
It was Trump, yeah.
This is clearly, to me, an owner stepping in saying, we need to do something. This is what I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else in the building is going to be like, oh, crap. Like, I thought you, which by the way, could be a good thing, but
not
also
a bad thing.
Yeah. But also, You were supposed to give them the year. You made the decision to give them the year.
Mm-hmm.
He foolishly doubled down on everybody. And then 5 weeks in, you're going to change from that? It was the wrong decision to begin with. Then you make that decision, and then 5 weeks later, you change on that decision, and now you have Joe Douglas, who's a lame duck general manager, who might have to make a big decision as far as Devontae Adams goes, and if he doesn't,
and Reddick,
then it's Woody Johnson.
Two big decisions.
Those are two big decisions. You got Olbrich stepping up into a spot where he's never been before in a situation where everybody's going to be wiped out.
Still might be better than Saleh.
A 41-year-old quarterback with an offensive coordinator that he loves that have been both underwhelming and underperforming, if not flat out bad.
Yeah.
Players who are underachieving. Like, it's a mess. I almost just said a bad
did
word.
Did you really?
Well, because it's a mess.
You would have been wrong. Yeah, you would have got in trouble, but you would have been wrong. So the thing about the I want to make a point about Rodgers and Hackett here, because now I do think that Olbrich, unlike Saleh, will maybe, you know, voice his concern if they're not running the ball. I just think Saleh was too hands-on. Okay, so I've already stated that. But think about what's going to happen with Rodgers. When does he meet the media? Tomorrow in anticipation? Because because they play Mondays.
That's a good question.
Is it a day later?
Forget the McAfee stuff.
Yeah, forget about McAfee, because McAfee's going to take care of him because he's his boy. But like when Rodgers gets in front of the New York media, if the New York media does their job, they're going to basically, how do you not ask him?
And they will.
I think that they will too. How do you not ask him, well, your head coach was fired, how is the coordinator still here? Okay, now what you're doing when you do that, and I'm with you, they will do that, you are now putting Rodgers on the defensive. Rodgers, while he's egotistical and he's a little bit of everything, and I like Rodgers like Sal does, but he's got blood on his hands now. And Patrick Ewing or any other great player, nobody liked being thought of as a coach killer. Don Nelson with Ewing, that's what I referenced when Van Gundy got the job. They don't like that on their resume. So he's going to try to get some separation. How is he going to try to get some separation? This might actually, in his own mind, facilitate some change and make him more adaptable to the offense that they actually run. Because if the offense now looks a little better, now people start going at Rodgers and saying, why the hell is this guy still here? He's your boy, but he's done nothing here.
Right. But
you know what I mean?
He's also going to say, I won a Super Bowl. I won four MVPs. I love this guy Hackett because I've had success with him before. We know what we're doing. Everybody else is the problem. Guys need to be held accountable. Guys need to buy in. The head coach wasn't doing it.
I don't think he'd say that.
He may not say it. That's how he feels.
He'd take the whole team under the bus?
No.
You don't think that's how he feels? I think his ego is probably forcing him to feel that way more so than not.
Well,
he should, but he also has to look in the mirror. He hasn't played well.
Well, he's played terribly. He's also held himself accountable.
Yeah, he did.
To a certain extent.
He did. After the London game, he said it's not my standard. I respect that.
I just don't know, like, if this were the case, what did they think was going to happen this year?
Here's what I think.
Saleh's never held anybody accountable.
Which is why he's gone, and he should be. I think Monday night, I can promise you, and I don't know if the Jets are going to win, I can promise you one thing. Rodgers is not flinging the football 50 times. There will be, whether it's because Rodgers feels guilty or Hackett feels pressure or Olbrich has influence, they will recalibrate how they play offensively, and I think that gives them a chance to start winning because they got talent.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that the Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Kirk is in Manhattan. What's up, Kirk?
Kirk, what's going on, buddy? All right, man.
You guys hear me?
All right, dude.
Yes, you're on the air, Kirk. What do you got?
Yeah, first let me say I love the passion. Don't always agree with you guys, but you always bring it every day.
Thank you.
Really respect that. First, let me say it's an obvious fire. For me, it would give me flashbacks to Rex, who was 10 times the coach that Saleh was. Right? Your head coach has to be able to step in and tell the OC he's being an idiot, right? An earlier caller brought up the first and goal at the one-yard line against the Broncos. We have a rookie quarterback who's running over defenses. And it doesn't even occur to Saleh to step in and say, hey, what are we doing? Why are we giving this kid a shot in that situation, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing with Rex, right? So for me, the only part I really disagree with you, Sal, is firing Hackett. Now, I do not at all think he's a good coach, but he really can't screw with Aaron Rodgers, right? He's comfortable with the offense. I honestly don't think the offense was the issue against the Vikings. Lazard dropping passes.
It's a great point you bring up, Kirk. If we're going to hold guys accountable, why not drop Alan Lazard, who can't catch a cold?
I agree.
I wish I could give him mine. He can't catch it.
You're right. That's why I want Devontae Adams, right? Alan lost that game with those drops, the big one in the end zone. So for me, like, listen, there's only so much you can do in season. You really can't get rid of your offensive coordinator when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's comfortable with that system. So for me, you want to get rid of Alan Lazard, and then a few hours later, the Devontae Adams news hits. Hey, sign me up. I think that's awesome. I love the fire. It was overdue. Sala was just a cheerleader head coach who couldn't tell his OC to stop being an idiot. You know, like, again, it gave me flashbacks. Last thing I'll say before I land my plane, like, I remember the press conference Woody gave when he fired Rex, and he specifically mentioned, like, he mentioned the ineptitude in the red zone and the questionable decision-making. The head coach can't just totally ignore the offense in today's NFL, and I hope Woody keeps that in mind when we make the next head coach hire. If it's not Jeff Ulbrich, it's time for this franchise to bring in an offense.
Well, sorry there. We cut you off, Kirk. We appreciate the call.
Made some good points there. The offseason will be the offseason. For those who don't know, Ulbrich has been named the interim for the rest of the season. There was a thought maybe, you know, they try to get somebody now. It's not going to happen. We'll get into that. Listen, if he does well, there's a conversation to be had that maybe he remains. If he doesn't, there's no conversation. But whatever the Jets do, if they do hire somebody else after Ulbrich, he better not be a rookie, and he better have offensive roots.
I mean, enough. I'd hope he'd be a qualified head coach to run the whole thing. But I think Kirk brings up a great point. Hey, if we're all about accountability and Saleh is fired because he wasn't holding guys accountable, then why is Alan Lazard still on this team? Hold him accountable. You know why he's on this team?
Yeah.
Because the quarterback loves him. Just like the offensive coordinator, the play caller, who's in over his head. Why is he still on this team and not being held accountable? Because the quarterback loves him. And why is the quarterback not being held accountable, other than some things that he says about himself? Because the owner loves him. So there are many, many problems here. This is just the beginning. I know it's a piece of meat that the Jet fans wanted for a long time. But it's beyond that. It's far beyond that. Their issues are so deep that it's not going to be fixed by making Robert Saleh the scapegoat, even though he was not a good head coach.
Sal, you don't stumble upon this this ignominious stat here. The longest North American team sport playoff drought in existence right now. It's not like one thing. It's not like, oh, wow, they got screwed by one bad injury to somebody they drafted. It's been a colossal circus. And it's still the circus. You just have to hope that, you know, that eventually it's circus is over and you can go home and clean up the popcorn.
Yeah, hope is a beautiful thing, because that's really all that it's been with the Jets. Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I want to talk about something that Willie Colon said, but I wanted to first say, you know who the most excited is about this move this morning?
Me. I mean,
Aaron
I'm
Judge,
up there.
Cause he got, Aaron oh, Judge, because yeah. he got the whole morning off.
Yeah, Rodon. Oh, you're exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Rodon, Judge, so, Jazz, all of them.
So Willie Colon said something interesting. He said guys like Gardner and Wilson and Breece Hall, Robert Saleh is the only guy that they know. And I think we would agree that all three of those guys have seemed to take a step back since the first year they came on the scene. So you know what? Maybe it's a little bit detrimental that he's the only guy they know. To me, I equate it to like having a boss who wants to be everybody's friend, who looks the other way, he's lenient, maybe he's a little lackadaisical, lets you come in late, leave early, kick off on Fridays. And as a result, your employees, in this case the players, maybe get a little lazy too. So you know what you do? You fire the manager, and the message is the party's over, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm not equating cursing to good coaching, but if you watched Hard Knocks last year, Ulbrich dropped about 50 F-bombs every minute. And it looks like guys are ready to run through the wall for him.
Yeah, but the problem is their new coach. Like, I love that analogy, Chris, and thank you for the call. The problem is the new sheriff in town is the guy who they were being coached by under the head coach. So imagine your new boss takes over, but you were already friends with him. He was at a lower level, and he gets elevated. It's not all of a sudden this big change in where, like, oh, wow, now the DC is the head coach, and now there's this different level of respect. Like, to do that the right way, it's got to be somebody from outside the organization.
Or it's got to be somebody, like, think about Van Gundy under Pat Riley. Everybody respected Pat Riley, so the transition to Van Gundy was easier because he was already embedded in the core principles defensively and work ethic that Pat Riley had. You know, to me, I mean, Robert Saleh, who's one of the worst coaches they've ever had, Now, that doesn't mean that Ulbrich is destined for the same fate, but if you're talking about the coaching tree, like if Robert Saleh was really good and he was here like 7-8 years and that expired and, you know, he won some playoff games and it just, hey, it was time to end because it was time to end, maybe it's an easier transition. But, you know, listen, the end is that you couldn't keep rolling this back. I mean, watching this emotionless, this expressionless, just almost divorced from the energy of the team, it was beyond disconcerting. It looked like, I mean, there were games where I thought Robert Saleh was a fan and not a very invested in one as well, let alone being a coach. It had to end, man. I'm sorry, it had to end. That's it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. We'll have Brian Baldinger at 1240 as well to talk more Jets. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Let's hammer some of these phones here, BT. Jets fire Robert Saleh. Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, is now taking over as interim head coach. Jets 5 weeks into the season, a Super Bowl expectation season. The Jets fire their head coach, 888-808-1019. And, you know, now it's in the hands of an interim coach with Hackett still in play, with Rodgers still there, potentially Devontae Adams looming. Who knows what's happened this week? That'll just be the Jets bingo card. Trade for Devontae Adams on top of it. What other chaos can they create here 5 weeks into the season? They'll be in primetime at home Monday night against the Buffalo Bills. Kerry is in Sayreville, New Jersey. What's up, Kerry?
Hi, guys. How are you?
How are you, Kerry?
Not bad. Now, Sal, you weren't here at the time, but I just want to remind BT, I guess it was a little over 2 years ago now, I had called you and Tiki to just say good luck. I'm a huge Packer fan. Okay. And I told you this day would come where I would call and I would check in on you because the circus is in town. Yeah. And when the circus leaves, I'm pretty sure you got nothing to show for it. So I just want to make sure you're okay. I told you this day was coming.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Dove just said in my ear, Dove's part of the show. He remembers it. I do remember that call. So I appreciate you calling in to rub it in. I mean, listen, things aren't going badly enough. The Jets are under 500. They look awful. And they seem to be broken. And Ed Kerry's got to call in with receipts. Yeah, listen, Kerry, way to flex.
Taking victory laps.
Thank you, Kerry.
It is, though, not that we care about the Packers, but in this case, you do tie it in. And we referenced it the other day. The Packers transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and then from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. And the Jets fail with chasing the former star in Brett Favre, and they failed again with chasing the former star Aaron Rodgers. Now, it's technically not over this year, but my goodness. I mean, I don't know how you can – I don't know. You could have hope, BT. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel good. Like, are you confident that they're actually going to beat the Bills on Monday night?
I think they got a real chance.
Oh,
I do.
Buffalo off two losses.
I mean, listen, I got you, but, you know, why do they lose twice in a row?
Yeah.
Like, you know, with just meltdowns, or are they losing because they're a little bit vulnerable? I think probably more the latter. We'll see.
And they didn't lose to Denver at home.
I understand. I got you. No, listen, I don't feel good. I don't feel as despondent as some because I needed a change.
Do you think?
And, you know, this is a good change.
Did you think they were going to the playoffs with Saleh?
I thought, well, you know what I always said. Yeah. I said that I always thought the Jets would get to the playoffs in spite of Robert Saleh.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. So even with Saleh, you still thought they were going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, but I knew that he was going to be a problem. Thought their talent was going to, yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, I did. I thought they'd
be a playoff team. But I'm talking about like the other day, like we talked about it, because we went over the schedule. Maybe it went from like 12 to
10.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
To 10.
So there'd be a 10-win team still being a playoff.
Yep.
So what is Ulbrich going to do now? Like, is it going to go from what you thought was going to be a 10-win season to an 11-win season?
No, I don't think that the ceiling raises. I think the floor raises. How is it going to get worse?
Right. Well,
that's what I don't understand. I mean, I guess it could always get worse by you just lose more games and you finish 5-12, whatever. But I don't anticipate. Like, I think Robert Saleh is awful.
Right.
Awful as a head coach. I think he has been in their way. I think he's slowed them down. I think he's got no leadership. I think he's just awful. I think he's a complete zero as a head coach. So if that's my opinion on him as a head coach, not as a man, as a coach, which it clearly is, well, then why wouldn't I think that the Jets, with the talent that they have and the defense, the way it's been playing, with some, you know, influence in the run game, they can't piece together some wins?
Yeah.
I do.
Kelly is in Oldbridge. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Just give me a minute here to vent, BT and Sal. Love the show. Great show. Listen, Saleh, nice guy. Unfortunately, that doesn't make a great coach. You guys have talked about that. But guys that are calling and saying the witch is dead and this is a great day to be a Jets fan, are they crazy? Like, you got a clear house with these other coaches. Like, not to mention, Rodgers
handcuffed this team since he's got here, and nobody is saying anything about that. He's got his boys here. Who's he going to bring in? You know he wants Devontae Adams. Who's he going to try to bring here next? Donald Driver? He's handcuffed the team. And all these mistakes that the Jets are having on a weekly basis, the neutral zone infractions, O-line jumping, this and that, is not on just one person. It's on the whole team. And not to mention the guys that have been here before, Geno Smith, Flacco, Darnold. These guys are leaving this organization under the coaches that have been here.
Yep.
Or they brought in, and now they're playing good ball on other teams.
Yeah, but Kelly, hold on. Kelly, hold on one second. I love the passion. I do. And you're not wrong on anything that you've said so far, but I don't know, conjuring up all this stuff, what does that do for today? Like, Geno is not solid. You know, solid didn't ruin Geno. Like, what are we doing?
Well, pointing out that the Jets are just, it's a broken organization, and this move is not going to fix everything.
No,
and
it's not. And it's not.
But there is a feel that Jeff fans are celebrating, saying, ding dong, the witch is dead, as if Robert Saleh is the lone problem. Not acknowledging that Hackett is a problem, Rodgers is a problem, Douglas is a problem.
Well,
owner's been a problem.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit of that, but you know what I'm saying is that one problem's gone. And that's a good start for me. Now, it's not perfect, but they have removed a problem. They have not gotten rid of unfairly an asset. They've gotten rid of a detriment. Gone. So why Hackett's still here? I mean, we could debate that all day. It's not fair. It's just not. He hasn't earned the right to be here. We know why he's here, but he hasn't earned it. So I'm not saying it's perfect, but they got rid of one problem. That's a good starting point.
Right,
I'll take that.
Right, but that problem was going to go away at the end of the year regardless.
Can't wait for the end of the year. Not when Rodgers is 40. Not with some of the money. Eventually, Garrett's got to get paid. Sauce has to get paid. Vera Tucker's got to get paid. These young players need to get paid. DJ Reed's free agent contract's up pretty soon. Like, they're Quincy. They got to start paying guys. So the urgency is now. Like, you can't keep pumping on next year. You know, you might have to, but you got to try to fix it now.
You're right. And that's why I said that they should have fired Saleh after last year.
But I'm not disagreeing with that.
Well, I said the
same thing. I said bringing Vrabel or Harbaugh. I totally agree.
Understood. So then it still shows you that now, all of a sudden, 5 weeks in, there's urgency. It just shows you, like, at least if Hackett were fired along with it and Rodgers were put on notice, it would at least show me that, hey, you know what? Maybe the Jets will be headed in a better direction moving forward. This doesn't show me that.
Well, because it's abrupt, and I'll give you that. It's very un-Woody Johnson. Don't you think, let common sense prevail. Don't you think that Rodgers and the deterioration of that relationship is the impetus behind Woody saying, get lost to Saleh? I don't think it's anything more than that.
Right, but
I think that's really it.
Which is why I say that Rodgers is still...
Yeah, no.
As much as I love him.
He is. He's still running the show here.
Let's run
him in the end zone a little bit
more.
He's
not 31. He's 41. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll have Brian Baldinger when we come back. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Jets fired Robert Saleh. Ulbrich takes over as interim head coach. Monday night at home against the Buffalo Bills. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day be delicious. Baldy, your thoughts on Saleh being canned as head coach of the Jets?
Well, I never like to see anybody get fired. I personally like Robert, but this team wasn't responding. I mean, you could look at it a lot of different ways. If Zuerlein makes the kick against Denver, they win. If Aaron hits Garrett Wilson wide open in the final minute and a half against Minnesota, they probably win. And they're 4-1, and everybody's excited about Monday night against Buffalo. But this is the worst rushing team in the NFL. The receivers and the quarterback are clearly not on the same page when they need to be. All those things are things that happen out on the practice field every day that aren't getting done. Defensively, I don't know that they could play a whole lot better than what they have done through the first 5 weeks. So there's good and there's bad of it. And does firing a coach make a big difference when they can't really do certain things very well right now, like run the football?
I don't know, but I'm willing to find out. And by the way, Baldy, you can make the case that if Will Levis wasn't so bad, the Jets would be 0-2. So there's always two ends to that. You know what I'm saying? So,
no doubt. Yeah.
Right, why is Hackett still here?
Well, I mean, look, Buffalo fired their offense coordinator halfway through the season because he wasn't getting it done, and they turned their whole season around and went to the playoffs. he could have been easily the fall guy, the way this offense is stumbling right now and why they can't run the football and why receivers are running routes differently than what the quarterback is throwing. And they can't protect their quarterback and why they're throwing it, you know, 109 times the last 2 weeks in games that are basically a one-score game.
In the rain.
And they're throwing it.
In the rain.
I mean, they dropped back 57 times against Denver in the rain. You know, I mean, why are they doing that? I mean, that just seems like maybe that's where the finger should be pointed right now.
Because that's one thing that I've said. I'm sorry. But, yeah, guy, I pointed that out. That is reckless, especially when your quarterback's 40 and very immobile at this point to throw it that many times. But to me, this is where I cannot exonerate Saleh. He's a defensive guy, and the Jets' defense is very good. But when you're throwing it that frequently, walk down to Hackett and say, run the ball.
I agree. I mean, that's the head coach's job when he's not calling plays, is to, you know, make certain demands in a game where you're just not dropping back with a quarterback that clearly, you know, after that Denver game was banged up and was banged up all day Sunday in London and, you know, kind of gimpy around, you know, dropping back 52 more times. That's where you got to intersect, and you got to make certain demands on what you want and how you want this team to play football. And if the runs, the outside zones, the inside zones aren't working, find runs that do. And just keep grabbing at straws and putting it on the offensive line to be better. And they have to be better. And that does start out in practice. But, yes, I mean, it's just imbalanced in a way that, you know, most quarterbacks aren't going to survive.
Well, why, Baldy, are they the worst rushing team in the league?
Ah, man, this is a mess. I mean, I broke down. Breece Hall's got 65 runs so far this year. I think he's a hell of a back. 31 of his 65 runs have gone for 2 yards or less. And then you can go back and watch all 31 runs that are 2 yards or less. And there's a breakdown in every single run. Either they're not fundamental in their double teams at the point of attack, how they don't push to the right linebacker, they don't get the second level blocked, their position blocking and not run blocking. I mean, I could find five critical errors in every one of those 31 runs that just got blown up.
Well, then fire the offensive line coach while we're at it.
Yeah, well,
they did that.
That's kind of why
they did it already. They did that last year.
Do it again.
John Benton's gone.
Is it the line? Is it the play calling? Is it the backs? I mean, there's got to be some kind of reason for why they cannot run the football well.
Well, the number one run in this offense is the wide zone. You got to make that work. When you make that work, a lot of good things happen because of it. And they clearly don't know how to block these plays. I mean, they just don't. It started in San Francisco, and Minnesota's got the number one defense in football, but, you know, Brian Flores said, well, we'll just take the run away, and they did. They didn't even try at a certain point. They couldn't get their three down linemen blocked. And so, you know, I mean, those are the – I mean, the wide zone is a wide zone, but it's got to be coached correctly. It's a play that you have to make work in this offense. And when you don't make that play work, a lot of bad things happen as a result.
Mm. Okay, so the lack of mobility from Rodgers, mm-hmm. it's made them very one-dimensional, and that obviously is an asset to DC. So lack of foot speed at this point or willingness to try to run that often, is that just really crushing what the Jets could do?
No, I mean, look, there's plenty of good running football teams in this league that don't ask the quarterback to be a part of it. You should be able to hand the ball off and get 4 yards. They're having a hard time handing the ball off and get 4 yards. I mean, you want to run it on first down, you got to get 4 yards. Not many coordinators in this business are going to call another run on second and eight or second and nine. They're just not. First down is when you always get your big plays and your play action passes and you get your chunk plays down the field. And well, they're not getting that because they're not being able to run the ball, especially on first down right now. So it does start there. And I feel like if they can get the run game fixed, because I think they have two really good backs, but if they get the run game fixed, I think a lot of things are going to get corrected on this football team right now.
How is Ulbrich going to make this team better?
I think he's going to emphasize the run. I think he's going to get over there and watch this offensive line go to work in practice on Wednesday. I think he's going to be all over him. I think that's number one. The defense has played well. I mean, T.J. Reed, for my money, is as good as any quarter in this whole football league right now. Maybe Patrick Surtain's a little bit better because of the interceptions. But T.J. Reed's playing great. The pass defense is good. The pass rush isn't great, but the way he's mixed in the blitzes with the pressures, I mean, Sam Darnold played a whole lot better than what he showed on Sunday, before Sunday. So, I mean, they took Justin Jefferson out of the game, like outside of a couple penalties. I think they've played really well defensively. I think Jeff Ulbrich's going to get over there. And most good defense coordinators were going to tell you, we're going to run the football. And that's what he's going to say in front of the whole meeting on Wednesday when they meet and convene and start this new process. They're going to run the football. I think they're going to run it better. I think that they're going to figure out what they do good, what they don't do well right now, what the rookie can handle, and they're going to get that part of it fixed. Because Jeff Ulbrich, if he knows one thing, it's how to stop a running game. I mean, that's the number one job. The job of defense coordinator is two things. Stopping the run and learning how to do that, and they're doing that pretty well, and then breaking down the other team's protections and attacking those protections. Mm-hmm. And I think Jeff will use what he knows as a defense coordinator and step into the offensive room with Hackett and Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Tyron Smith and say, this is what we're going to do.
Gotcha. Now, it's been a real issue so far, but are you confident that this miscommunication between Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and others gets better or doesn't get better?
Well, I thought they overdid it last week. I mean, there's no reason for Garrett to be targeted 22 times. There just isn't. You know, you're targeting Garrett at the expense of open receivers. We're gonna get you. Like, I can always see, we're going to get you going, Garrett. We're going to get you going. All right. You got him going. You got his, he had a good day. But there was a lot of missed passes, too, there, where other guys were open. So why don't you just start off by saying, let's get it to the open guy. Like, that's – and if Garrett gets his targets and his touchdown catch along the way, great. But, you know, you're – the throw to Michael Williams at the end of the game for the interception was still a chance to win the game. I don't get the throw. I don't get the route. He wasn't open. You want to put it on his back shoulder and let him go jump up and get it like they have? Okay. But the throw wasn't good. The throw to Garrett Wilson when he beats Stephon Gilmore in a double move. Yeah. Like, you got to make that throw. Yeah. I mean, it's not just Garrett. I mean, it's just not Aaron. I mean, you want Bo Nix to make that throw. You want Jaden Daniels to make that throw. You want every quarterback to make that throw. You just beat a really good corner. It's to win the game. Like, it's a layup.
BT and Sal on the Fan with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Is that just an aberration of a bad game, Baldy, or is Father Time starting to catch up with number 8?
Well, I don't look. You could look up Tom Brady or Drew Brees or any great quarterback and look at their record when they throw it 50 times or more, Peyton Manning. Like, it's not a good record. It's not a good formula. They're last in the league in rushing right now. Aaron Rodgers is not going to make it through the season with the hits he's taken right now. Nobody is going to survive this. So you better fix things up front right now. And look, this was a very winnable game, even down 17-0. They chipped away. The defense got the ball back. All the good things that happened. But, yes, Father Time is it's catching up to him, but it's being accelerated right now with what they're asking him to do.
Baldy, I know they've lost two straight here. How vulnerable are the Bills? What's going on?
They're vulnerable. I mean, their passing game is almost non-existent right now. And if they can't run the football, they don't look like a very good football team. And defensively right now, I mean, they're a bend but don't break type of defense. They give you a lot of stuff underneath. You know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to move the football against that defense.
Would you trade for Davante Adams if you're the Jets?
Well, I mean, look, Aaron and Davante had a great relationship. The last time they played together was 2021. That's like dog years in this NFL. He wants to play here, but you're going to put Davante in front of who? Right now, you're going to put him in front of Lazard.
Trade Mike Williams.
Okay. All right. Fine. That would improve that position right now.
Yep.
They have a great timing when they were clicking. Like, literally, you could go for it on every fourth down. Aaron was looking for Davante, no matter what you did, and they connected. Now, are they going to have the same timing that they had, you know, in 2021 when he was an all-world receiver?
No.
Maybe.
No, well,
probably
not because maybe chemistry, but the analytics say that he's not getting open as much and he's not doing as much after the reception. He's 31. So it is what it is. Baldy, if you were Joe Douglas, more resources on your end right now, trying to get Adams or trying to resolve the Reddick situation?
Well, I mean, you're not gonna change anything in the offensive line. I mean, they're gonna put the five guys out there right now. They got to get better at what they're due, and the tight end's got to figure it out, and the receiver's got to be a part of it. But the number one thing this team has to do right now is get Breece Hall going. Like, he's playing with zero confidence. Like, he's literally making moves behind as soon as he's getting the handoffs right now about where to go with the ball because of penetration and guys not doing a good job up front. Like, I would put them in full pads on Wednesday, and I'd have a training camp practice and 9-on-7 drill.
Let's go.
And I would drill this team the way Parcells used to do it, and I would demand that they'd get movement at the point of attack. And that's how I would fix this whole thing. Because you can't be last in the league in rushing with a 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, Baldy, you're hired, man. Forget about Oprah. You coach him.
Baldy, how are we feeling about the Mets today, Game 3 at Citi Field?
Man, these games are awesome. I don't know, like that comeback the other Sunday, you know, by the Phillies. Like, I don't know, like I'm hanging in there. I want to get to their bullpen. Because it hasn't shown me much yet so far. And it's supposed to be a shutdown bullpen for the Phillies. But give me Lindor, give me Alfonso, give me these guys, and give me as many at-bats as I can right now.
Yeah, take a little break from that film and enjoy a Mets victory over Philadelphia, hopefully this afternoon. Thank you, Baldy.
All right, guys, you got it.
There you go. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We'll take a quick break, come back, reset things, take your calls on the Jets, maybe working a little Mets as well, BT, as I know a lot of fans headed out to Citi Field to catch Game 3. Play's going to be electric in a few hours from now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.